Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to another episode. Everything happening. It's appropriate, very appropriate for us to have a message from His Imperial Majesty, Haile Selassie I, right of peoples.
We may cite one example arising out of the very language of the Charter of the United Nations. We are to discuss, during this conference, the right of peoples and nations to self-determination, a right which is an issue in various regions of the world today. We are also called upon to reaffirm our respect for the sovereignty and territorial integrity of states and the principle of non-interference and non-intervention in their internal affairs, principles which have demonstrated their essential worth and validity in the field of international relations many times over, and to which we believe all here are wholly dedicated. We deign to suggest that there is some inconsistency, some internal contradiction, between these principles when closely linked together, whereas considered separately and apart, none would deny them at least lip service. Can a government which overtly or covertly supports the violation of the territorial integrity of another state justify its actions on the ground that it seeks only to implement the principle of self-determination for all or a portion of the people of that nation? We think not. To contend contrariwise is to adopt the thesis of Adolf Hitler, who contended, in support of the action of the Third Reich in incorporating Austria into Germany, that it is obvious that an idea embracing the entire German people and arising from its depths cannot be stopped at the frontiers of a country, peaceful coexistence. Similarly, when we consider the topic of peaceful coexistence among states with different political and social systems, we must guard against careless use of terms or language which, for different people, have different meanings. Peaceful coexistence is not merely the absence of war. It embraces non-interference and non-intervention in the domestic affairs of others, refraining from propaganda activities calculated to create disharmony among states short of war or among peoples of the same nation. Cessation of subversive activities designed to ferment civil disorder and revolution in other nations and the like. The word itself is an empty bottle. It is for us to give it content and meaning. Belgrade Conference, September 3rd, 1961.
Absolutely. Give us the teaching of His Majesty. And now we're going to have a reading and overstanding breakdown of the Economic, Social, and Cultural Council, an organ of the African Union.
What is reparatory justice for Africans and people of African descent? Reparatory justice for Africans and their descendants addresses the historical and systemic oppression caused by colonialism, transatlantic slavery, and racial discrimination. It acknowledges the long-term social, economic, and political impacts of these atrocities on African nations and their diasporas. This process involves acknowledging wrongs and establishing historical truth through documentation, education, and memorialization. What are the key actions for achieving reparatory justice? Advocacy and awareness. Educating communities via campaigns, workshops, media, and lobbying for reparations policies. Research and documentation. Collecting evidence of historical injustices too. Strengthen reparations claims. Legal and policy engagement. Supporting legal actions and policy reforms. Related to reparations, engaging global institutions, building global networks, connecting African nations with the diaspora, strengthening partnerships with civil society and human rights organizations. Who should be held accountable for reparations? Former colonial powers and enslaving nations, European nations, the U.S., and other Western countries benefiting from African exploitation, slavery, and segregation. Governments and international institutions, former colonial empires, the Catholic Church, multinational corporations and global organizations like the UN, World Bank, and IMF, which perpetuate economic injustice. Nations and institutions benefiting from stolen wealth. Museums, universities, collectors of looted. African artifacts and global trading systems continuing to disadvantage African economies. What are the key strategies for achieving reparations? Global Reparations Fund. Establishing a fund to support reparations initiatives. Truth and Reconciliation Models. Building on South Africa's model and CARICOM's. 10-point plan for other nations to emulate. Debt cancellation and economic justice. Advocating for debt relief and redirecting. Funds into infrastructure, education, and healthcare. Reparations-focused agreements. Using cases like Germany's acknowledgement of the Herero and Nama genocide as precedents for African nations to demand reparations. ECOSOC is the AU's platform for civil society engagement, ensuring African citizens participate in continental affairs, serves as an advisory organ, influencing AU policymaking with grassroots perspectives, promotes participatory governance, social accountability, and inclusive development, functions as a bridge between AU institutions and the African citizenry. The role of ECOSOC in the implementation of the TODI. Organize strategic dialogues between AU organs, member states, CSOs, diaspora groups, academics, around the objectives and scope of the 2025 theme. Popularization, awareness raising, and public engagement on the theme. Lead public education campaigns to explain the historical basis and contemporary relevance of reparations. Policy advisory. Advises AU organs and national governments on how to mainstream reparative justice into national policy frameworks, legislation, and development planning, disseminates toolkits, fact sheets, and policy briefs to inform national and local stakeholders on the reparations agenda. Translating the theme into action, encourage member states to develop national action plans on reparative justice. Guided by AU frameworks, support pilot initiatives like truth commissions, community restitution projects, or heritage preservation programs. Empowering grassroots advocacy. Promote storytelling and documentation of historical injustices at the grassroots level to ensure local ownership of the reparations discourse.
Okay, now that we have that breakdown, we have another message to help tie it together.
And I would just put a very significant sign, if ones are familiar with the United Nations Durban Declaration and Program of Action, paragraph 158. The first item, number A, or number one, whichever way you want to interpret it, is debt relief. The last item, Item S, is the facilitation of welcome return of African descendant, which is repatriation, the rights of return. And where there is a right, there is a responsibility to address those rights. So where is the voice and the determination from the AU to reclaim its descendants from out of chattel slavery and colonial servitude, which is impacting now as neocolonialism. One perfect love.
Ish. With the times we're living in, we know that the pressure is on as a people. But it's our redemption time. So hold the faith. And until next time, when we meet at the crossroads, peace.